Well, happy fucking happy hour. Yeah. Holy shit, it's Damien from Mean Girls. Holy fucking shit. It's, oh my God, Daniel Francesi. Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
Get right up on that microphone. I know you know
Hello, how are you?
I know you know how to get right up on something like that shape. See, I made a gay joke. I made a dick joke right out of the box, my friends. Daniel, what a thrill and a pleasure. Actor, comedian, activist. Yeah. Fucking
That's
huge
That's me, man.
Yeah. What the fuck, man? My new favorite obsession on YouTube is shit my Italian mom says.
Oh.
Where, well, you both dress as your mom and you have your actual Italian mom on.
We also have our, we have a web series that came after that.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I the first one I watched was you as her in a wig, which was really disturbing and hilarious at the same
cathartic,
time.
Cathartic, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I finally got that one. Is the one thing that I've ever done that I could like watch and laugh every time because I really got her, you know.
Because it does all seem like real shit that an Italian mom would say.
Yeah, and especially her.
And it was a lot of food centered things like that.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah. What? Yeah. You're from fucking Bensonhurst and shit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm from Brooklyn.
Yo, fucking Bensonhurst, 718's in the house, everybody. Mm.
Be it ever so humble, no place smells more like pee in the summer. You know what I mean?
You need to get right up on that. Can we look? Like, you're such a tall gent.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I think we need to lower his chair.
Or you
want to
put you want to put some books under it?
You're a big hunk of man meat.
Can't help
nice
it.
Nice tall slice of.
I don't get a lot of complaints.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Okay,
yeah, that's probably the move right there.
Okay, here we go. Oh wow. Oh, we're putting him under Malcolm Nance books. Under him. Fantastic.
This is Hollywood.
Yeah, there we go.
There
All
we
right.
go.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi. Now people can hear me.
Yes. So, but where do we even start with you? I guess we start in fucking Bensonhurst and shit, right? We encourage a lot of drinking and a lot of swearing, by the way, on the happy hour.
Great. Into it.
I'm sure, I know your delicate ears are not used to that in Brooklyn.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I mean, I am from Brooklyn, and I always claim Brooklyn. I was born there, but I grew up in South Florida, which is Diet Brooklyn.
I saw
It's just like a little different. Like all the parents are from New York. The kids are all Southern. It's like, get inside right now. All right, Paul, be in there in a minute. You're like, what's going on? It's like a weird hybrid.
What is happening? So we came to know and love you in Mean Girls as Damien. And I mean, what to say about that. I watched the whole, you know this. There are many tributes to you on YouTube. There are best Damien scenes from Mean Girls.
And everything. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. It's a little nuts. That movie's been dissected. There's not a drop left
right
in that movie that hasn't been turned into something.
Oh, yeah.
And will continue to be. It's crazy.
And I love the line, this is Damien, he's so gay, he can barely function.
Right.
But ironically, this is what's so great about your whole story. You were still in the closet then. You were not out as a gay guy, although you played a gay guy in Mean Girls.
Right.
You even took a girl to the red carpet and kissed her on the red carpet at the Mean Girls premiere.
Yeah, I did.
Fuck, dude. I went on the red carpet with Greg Brady to the Emmys when I got my late night show. I'm a fucking carpet muncher, dude. And I was, but no, I get, that was the whole thing. Like Disney was like, oh, we need to get her a date for the Brady movies out. I know. Let's get Barry. What's his fuck?
Barry Williams.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Yeah. It's definitely a weird thing. Everybody was just like, don't do it. Why would you pigeonhole yourself? Like blah, blah, blah. But I think at that time, there weren't really a lot of roles being written that were that interesting for gay people. It's so different now. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But also, there's got to be a lot of, we joke, but there's got to be a lot of fucking machismo in the fucking Bensonhurst fucking goddamn Italian mook growing up in New York.
Definitely. Like the term, half a fag. Have you ever heard that? People be like,
no.
People be like, what is this guy, half a fag? And you'd be like, what? Because
what does that mean?
Care about the environment or something? Just anything soft or like emotional at all.
My friend John Picklesang grew up in New York.
It's very Brooklyn.
He's like, oh, you like to hang out with girls. You're fag. Oh, you like whatever. You're fag. Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. So, but that was probably part of it, right? Just that whole.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Barry Manilow just came out a couple of days ago. So
I
almost did a spit take when you said that. What? What? Barry Manilow's what?
Someone had a comment on Twitter, which I appreciate, too. It wasn't a big deal, and I don't know if we had the same response 10 years ago.
A big deal, by the way.
It is a big deal for
it's
him.
It's a big deal for the person, because you know, your friends know.
And it's different generationally.
You're supportive in, like, pride environments and where it matters. You're like, I've never been silent or whatever. But for some reason, it really there is a difference between saying you are and not saying you are.
Sure.
And there's a bit of a witch hunt until you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I never said I was straight. I never, you know, I just didn't talk about it. You're probably the same as you.
Well, it's the reason I didn't do stand-up comedy till recently. Yeah. I've done all kinds of comedy. I mean, I've been doing comedy for 20 years, but I've always wanted to do stand-up. But I felt it was inauthentic. I felt like I'd be like, so me and this girl were walking down the street, you know.
So I'm banging his fucking cheek in the
middle. So this broad is like, you know, like it just didn't feel right. It didn't really feel like me, and I couldn't tell the stories about stuff that happened to me. I mean, I was always censoring myself or changing pronouns, and it just made it inauthentic, which is why I never pursued it. Which is sad because I love it.
Yeah,
and I really feel like
you're fucking great at it.
And I feel like I've been doing this my whole life. I should have been always doing this. So. Yeah.
No, you're hilarious, but you're right. I feel like the best comedy comes from truth. And I think, I mean, I was saying, like, when I did my late night TV show, they marketed me as, you know, this like sexy late night show for guys. And so you're right. It's not even your decision. When we started this show, my ad said making men rise in the morning. Like, it wasn't me doing that, but you're right. It's like, it becomes this business thing. Like, oh, I'm going to hurt my business.
Well, as much as I love Shit Italian Mom Say, there's even an element of that where I'm half in a drag and half out of drag. I didn't want to go full the way.
Right.
Like, I didn't want to, like, shave the beard and do the boobs and
all
that.
That's what's hilarious about it. It's the wig and the beard. It is hilarious
because I figured, honestly, when it comes to art, like I went all the way with Damien and I didn't hold back. When it comes to art, like, I was really trying to always do my best. But with that particular thing, too, I was like, there's an element of this that almost makes it better. Like, it's a son throwing a wig on to make fun of his mother. Like, that feels almost more funny than if I would have tried to been real or something.
So, Daniel, when they cast you, because, again, here's the thing about perceptions. Like, you look like a big fucking mook from Brooklyn. Like, you look like a big straight fucking moron from, you know. But so, did you feel...
I acted really gay in the waiting room for that. Like, I was...
But, I mean, did you feel like, oh, I'm not out and so I can go for it with this because no one thinks I'm gay? Or, like, how did you...
No, I just wasn't as famous then. Yeah. I mean, I had made a few movies and some people knew who I were and, you know, they knew who I were in town and, and like, in the industry maybe more than, like, on the street.
Right.
That movie changed all that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, my God. It was fantastic. Stop trying to make... Fetch happened. Wait, am I doing the right
one? And the movie was...
That's Clueless. No,
I don't want to... No, that isn't Clueless.
That isn't Clueless. You're good.
No, am I good?
You're good.
Yeah, you're Clueless, but that's not...
Sorry. Well, that's a totally different thing, Daniel.
No, but yeah, there was many years after that I was offered really weird things that weren't good, didn't live up to the progressiveness of that character. That was the first time I saw a chubby gay kid in anything as a lead and not being made fun of. So.
Right. Yeah. So wait, you also did Larry Clark's Bully.
Right, that was my first movie.
Yeah, that was
intense.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, Yanira's shaking her head. You got a fangirl over there. Settle down. Settle down.
Tweet me.
So did you get nervous? Like, oh, I'm going to be typecast now? Is it?
Well, I wasn't gay in Bully, but.
No, I meant after Mean Girls, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was.
Yeah.
I couldn't, there's a specific instance that I mentioned in my coming out letter where it was a lesbian casting director and I was going out for this straight role opposite this girl who I moved to LA with, and we were so close and we had done like so many projects together. We still collaborate and it would have been amazing. We felt the intimacy between each other. We were supposed to play husband and wife, and it was the breakdown said a doughy blue collar lug of a guy, and they wouldn't let me audition. They were like, "Now we know Daniel, but this is a man's man. He can't do it." And they were like, "Just let him read." Wow. And it was very—I was discriminated against. There's a lot of homophobia and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And from a gay casting director. So, I found a lot of my troubles were with gay casting directors. I felt there was an element of them being upset that I wasn't being honest.
Yeah.
And being visible, perhaps.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, easier said than done when you're the person that's not in front of the camera.
I don't know. My nephew, I don't know if you know, Paul Fitzgerald, he's an actor, but he's bisexual. And he was in a, you know, playing a role where he was gay.
Visible as bisexual people.
Yeah.
They're like the unicorn.
Yeah. I mean, he's very out about it now, but he's, you know, but he's done a lot of, you know, pretty major stuff. But he was talking about that, like, and he has, you know, an MFA and years of training, and he was playing a gay character. And the director literally came up to him once and said, you know, it's great what you did, but I need a little more of this. And he just did that with his wrist. He's like, I need a little more, you know, a little more. Paul's like, really? My entire acting career has come down to you. Really? A little more of this?
Wow. Oh, it's the same
A little more
thing.
Swish?
Yeah, I think it's best when people align it to the African-American experience in Hollywood. It's very similar. Like, I have a lot of really talented black friends that the roles that they get offered are often like crackheads or like weird stuff that they could do so much better, contribute so much more to people's storytelling, and they get offered a lot of this crap. And it's the same thing with, you know, LGBTQ. We get really, you know, offer like literally like he wears eyeliner and a feather boa and da 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 da. And that's okay if it's central to the character. But if you're putting me next to like, you know, Kate Hudson or Reese Witherspoon in like a romantic comedy and then all of a sudden I'm there for like a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to play that. I don't want to, you know, play that for my. And I know there are a lot of actors that do. And I have friends that are comedians that do that kind of stuff that'll just like gay clown it and they can. And I think that that's fine. It's just, for me, it just never felt like the right fit.
Yeah.
Because well, like you said, that's not my norm. Like I felt like part of the things that were my demeanor, I was putting on a demeanor to make fun of my people.
Right.
If anything, I was going to do it to celebrate them like I did with Damien. Yeah, I wasn't going to accentuate it to, in a negative aspect.
Yeah.
And I felt the same way about being a guy of size because I'd get scripts where they'd be like, you know, I remember the TV show Ed, there was like a script and at this time it wasn't cool to do TV anyway, but there was a script and they were like, he gets up in the middle of Overeaters Anonymous, pulls a sandwich out of his pocket and is like, fuck it. And then eats a sandwich. I was like, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to do just that kind of a role. Like, you know, I wanted to have more substance, like more of an arc for these people.
Right. Okay. Listen, you motherfucker, you've made me cry twice today. Once with your letter to your character in Mean Girls when you came out, and also you, when you proposed to your boyfriend in Starbucks. Listen, you motherfucker, I hadn't even started drinking. I mean that in a loving way, and I barely know you.
I prefer fatherfucker.
Okay. Oh, pardon me. You will be my fatherfucker.
I'm a fatherfucking legend.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Like my,
you will speak to me as such.
I stand corrected.
Like that.
How did you get this idea? So you came out and you wrote a letter to your gay character in Mean Girls, which was really fucking amazing.
I had this opportunity with the 10th anniversary of Mean Girls. It's like if we farted, it was like front page news in like India. Like, I don't even know. Like, if just people were writing everything about, and I knew that whatever, I felt like a pressure already to do this. I felt like it was time for me personally. And I got a letter from a fan that was like, that started with, I don't know if you're gay or not, you know, or if you're straight or whatever. It doesn't really matter. And I was like, but it does. Like, as I read on in the article, he was saying how in eighth grade, he was a chubby sissy kid. And then the movie came out. And then in ninth grade, the popular girls were like, come sit with us. You're like Damien. Like I gave him an identity. Aww. And it was very powerful to me because I didn't have an image like that to look towards. Everybody who I was auditioning for was either a bully or a wimp, being a big teen, you know. And like everything I watched on TV was like everyone who was overweight had a sad storyline about being overweight. And everyone who was gay had a sad storyline about being gay.
Right.
There just wasn't anything like it. So when I realized that I supplied that, that meant a lot to me. That hit me really heavy. Yeah. And I was like, it's time I say something. And I was struggling with a way to do it. And I, you know, confided in some friends. And one of my friends hooked me up with somebody at IndieWire, which I felt it was not like an Us Weekly or something. It seemed like I started as an indie actor. I've always been like an artist more than I've been a celebrity. And I felt like that was some, that was the right place to do it. And, you know, talking with some friends, I had a more angry approach at first. I was really going to do like a, I'm going to get Hollywood. And my friends are like, calm down. Like, you're sweeter than that. And, you know, then the idea came up to do it to Damien. And it seemed really sweet. And it seemed fitting to the character, I mean, and the experience. So
it made me cry just reading it again. You said, I wished I'd had you as a role model when I was younger. It might have been easier to be gay growing up. You know, I mean, just I just thought, like, what a you know, touching way to sort of do it. And creative, like in sort of.
It was weird at first.
Perfectly unique like you are, you know.
Oh, that's very sweet. It was very weird having grown men come up and cry to me all the time, you know. And it started happening more and more, especially, you know, because when your movie's like 6 years old, it's like you're in a 6 year old movie. But like when your movie's like 10 years old, it's like you're in a classic. Like, it's funny how like the attitude changes a little bit. And and, you know, so around the 6 year, I started like, I remember being in New Orleans and like on Bourbon Street, having a man see me and just like burst out into tears and, you know, having just strange people who you would not expect, like in New York, you know, I was in like one of those like ATM vestibules, you know, like that you can only get in at night.
Right.
You know, and there was like a couple of like thuggy looking people that got in there, you know, that were all like talking really loud, you know, kind of like made you watch what you were doing.
Right.
You know, and then some guy's like, holy shit, you're Damien. He's like, that's my homeboy. Like freaking out, like screaming at me, you know. And it just, you never know the type of person that something like that'll affect and the type of lesson when stories are being told and when different types of people are being represented, the places that that'll reach.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It was one of those things.
Yeah. I mean, no, I, you know, it's so funny. I find myself so, just kind of connecting to your story because it was, you know, very similar for me. just about, you know, it's important at some point, not just to say I'm for that, but I am that. And I, you know, I've had those same experiences, like, you know, family coming up to me with a 16-year-old girl and they're all crying and they're like, you just gave our 16-year-old daughter, you know, permission to come out this weekend. Like, she thinks that, you know, now she can be beautiful and have a successful life, you know, you know, marry who she loves and what, you know. And I think, you know, you're not aware of that when you're just doing it. You just think like, and I think that if we judge, whoever,
it's like, oh, I'm not
what
just
time
a
when
loud
you
mouth,
came out, no one's
going to
come
matters,
out. Right, right.
Yeah, like you're like, oh, I'm not just like this outspoken person.
Right.
Like I'm, things I say resonate, you know, because sometimes you don't know.
Right. But everybody's timing's different. And yeah. I'm saying, I thought yours was so beautiful. I love the, you know,
I know several people that should probably come out, you know, that like are still struggling with it. So.
Anyone we should mention? No, I'm just kidding. You wrote, I'm not afraid anymore of Hollywood, The Closet, or Mean Girls. Thank you for that, Damien. I mean, that was just so gorgeous, you know. I mean, just
and just open and heartfelt, and you know, yeah, it was.
Don't listen to her, Damien. She's a plastic. Right? That's good. She looks like a plastic, but she's not. Okay, Kinnear, I knew I could laugh out of you on that.
Horrible.
Yeah, but I mean, I just think that's why people relate to that movie too, because we all went through those cliques in high school. We all were like, you know, you're this or this or this or this, and anyway, I was reading in this somewhere that you still, you know, are in touch with Lindsay Lohan. You saw her. There's talk of a reunion.
Is I mean, there a movie? I don't
oh,
know.
That'd be fantastic.
I don't know. I think we're done with where I can talk about Mean Girls at this point. Yeah. There's not.
The reunion talk is not.
Everybody wants to do stuff like that, and you know, but we'll see. One day, maybe.
But I mean, sequel, nothing. They're not. There's not actual talk.
No, there's not actual anything. Yeah. Oh. I mean, there's just a want, you know, from certain people. So
yeah. Okay. All right.
That's enough.
I think a want could become a dream. Could it become reality? Don't you, Plastic?
I think we're open to it.
I mean, wouldn't it be great? But just how what people were in high school and what they are now, it'd be.
We're open
fantastic.
To it. Our accountants are open to it.
Yes, exactly.
Our agents love the idea.
Exactly.
More importantly, the fans do. So you never know.
So you then went from like actor to like real activist. I mean, you went from being afraid to come out to coming out in this gorgeous way, and then.
It was all serendipitous. It wasn't like a plan. I wasn't even holding. I mean, I was in student government and stuff like that. But I think it was from my role in Looking. I played an HIV positive character. And
wow, Yunira is really creeping me out. She's gonna fucking fangirl out all over you. Apologize. Go ahead.
I played an HIV positive character, and what was significant about my character, well, besides the fact that the creators were like, he's never gonna get sick. It's never gonna be like a.
I'm sorry. An HBO.
Yeah, HBO television show.
Yeah, okay. Looking, yes. Got it.
But on the show, like, my character never got sick. We were going to talk about what it was like for people with HIV in this day of prevention and treatment, which is very different than when it was formerly portrayed on television. And I was helping to throw the premiere party with and including GLAAD in the conversation. And they GLAAD wanted me to do, they wanted me to present the media playbook on HIV and AIDS to MSNBC because. I didn't know this, but I was the only HIV positive character on TV at that time in scripted television.
Wow.
And the first one in 6 years since Gloria Rubin did it on ER. And what's significant about that is that since we found out about HIV and AIDS, the new infections have been going down every single year until they stopped being on television. And then they began to rise again. And now we're in a state where it's really rapid, the rise of HIV in our country. And people
Why?
Why? Because we had educations. We watched a special episode of Designing Women or whatever, and we watched like the Ryan White story, and we had Pedro Zamora on Real World. And kids today don't have that, and they don't see it as a problem anymore because people are living longer and happier and healthy lives.
Yeah.
You know, the drugs take a toll on people, though. There are other things, elements about being HIV positive. It's very expensive to be HIV positive and survive. You know, and if you don't have housing or proper care, like, you know, you can get sick very fast, you know? We dodged a bullet with this healthcare act.
Yeah, I'll say.
Because the break in some people's healthcare plans could have killed many people with HIV. Them being off meds for a couple of months waiting to get onto their partner's plan or what have you or whatever. And I think people just don't know what the deal is with HIV now.
No, I mean, Daniel, I've told the story many times that we don't know each other, but my high school boyfriend died of AIDS. Before there was the cocktail, before there was anything, you know, we graduated college in 1983, and if you're my age and you lived through losing so many people, I mean, you're right, you have just a whole different take,
exactly.
Even politically. I remember thinking, like, wow, when Reagan was in, I thought if AIDS had made rich white Republican men's dicks fall off, they would have cured that shit overnight. Man.
Right.
They would have thrown so much money at that. You know, and that's that one scene in Larry Kramer's movie. It always just killed me when he goes, they invite him to the White House and he thinks they're going to fucking help. And the guy goes, normal guys can't get this right from like hookers. That was the only reason they invited them there, to find out like, oh, you know, can straight guys get this? Because then this might be a problem.
And it's alarming what's happening now. I mean, 1 in 3 gay men have never been tested now.
Right.
In our day and age, you know, 50% of all African-American gay men are going to be HIV positive in my lifetime.
Yeah.
If we don't do something, 1 in 3 Latino, and young kids, just young. Because at the same time that this happened,
right,
they also began to remove comprehensive sexual education from high schools and then replacing it with abstinence training and taking away needle exchange programs and doing drug prevention programs. So that is a lot of what has caused a lot of a rapid rate. I mean, there's that incident, I don't know if you know, in Indiana, where there was in 1 month, this is under Mike Pence's government.
He took funding from AIDS to go to reparative therapy.
Yeah, he took out the needle exchange program and 150 new cases in one town in Indiana of HIV infection. So there's a lot of things, you know, and it alarms me. My Florida, which I still consider like a hometown, you know, my hometown where I grew up and went to school. You know, that's like 1 in 50 people in the entire state are going to be infected at the rates that we're going at. And people just don't know the prevention, because we have PrEP now. We have a drug that anyone could take that stops the transmission.
Right.
But, they don't talk about it because Big Pharma won't make money if everybody is not getting HIV, you know? And this pill they're making it expensive. And, you know, there's even AIDS organizations that have spoken against it.
Wow.
You know, at times. And I think that because they lose funding.
Right.
There's a lot of craziness that goes on. And, you know, I think if Miss Taylor was alive today, she'd be handing it out on street corners.
Yeah. You're in her foundation. Yeah. I mean, wait, let's talk about Florida for a minute. Wait, why did you move from Bensonhurst to, I just love this. He's the son of Denise, a lunch lady, and Ralph, a lounge singer.
Oh my God, where are you getting? You're getting like, it's like IMDb or Wikipedia or something.
Is that not true? Was your mom a lunch lady?
Yeah, my mom was.
A lounge singer?
Yeah,
because I'm like, you had to be a comedian. What else could you be?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's funny what people put online though. Like, things that.
Oh, I know. Somebody just looked at my Wikipedia page. I'm like, what the fuck? She had electroconvulsive therapy in her teenage years. I was like, what? No, I didn't. What? Why did you move to Florida? I forget. And brothers, sisters, tell me the whole.
Well, when you leave Brooklyn, you only get 3 choices. They're like Jersey, Staten Island, or Florida. That's like the only place
that
you go.
That's it.
Yeah. So we had to move to Florida. My grandparents were there, and you know, my sister was born, and they started spray painting on churches and libraries. It was the 85, you know, and so my family was like, "Yeah, we're gonna like not raise a girl here," and they moved. You know. I think that was really like the push behind it. Plus, it was like, you know, freezing snow. And there's
just
always,
you and your sister? Or?
No, and my brother.
Okay.
Yeah. But my sister was born then.
Are you youngest, oldest?
I'm the oldest.
Oldest, okay.
Yeah. And there were like billboards that say, if you lived here, you'd be home by now. Starting at like, you know, $50,000 for like a condo, you know? And it was like, it's still cheap to buy in Florida, you know? Like you can get a 5-bedroom house over there for like,
wait,
you
what, were they, like what were they spray painting? I missed something in this story.
No, just like graffiti, you know, 85 Times Square. Come on, 85 New York. What are we talking about here? You know what I mean? It's like, it was a very rough time in New York City at that time. It was pre, you know, Giuliani.
I got there in like 87. I did morning driving, huh? 97, everybody.
Oh yeah. Well, even at that time, you know, like it was rougher in New York in those days. And I think that Florida was just starting to boom. Like most of the area of Florida I grew up in, which is like the suburbs of Fort Lauderdale, was all built in the 70s. So everything was just like up and coming and grow. It still is.
Right.
And when I moved there, it was all old New Yorkers. Now it's like young families. But, you know, when I was moving there, it was every New Yorker was going there.
So what was your family? Your dad really was a lounge singer?
He was a mailman. A mailman.
Oh, okay.
And then, he is a lounge singer.
Oh.
He was a mailman and we transferred there. And then later in life, he became a lounge singer.
That's
and
fantastic.
He still is. Yeah.
I fucking love it.
He does really well. He does nice. He's a great singer.
Wow. Because you just picture some SNL sketch, like, you know.
No, he's got talent, you know.
Wow.
He's good, yeah.
And your mom really was a lunch lady at Piper High School in Sunrise, Florida?
Right, which is my alma mater.
So wait, your mom was a lunch lady at the high school that you went to?
Yeah, but she started the year after I left. How about that?
Oh, okay. All right.
But she was there for my brother and sister, but not for me. She regrets it.
Okay.
She said that's her biggest regret, that she didn't do that sooner because it would have been so fun. I mean, my high school life would have been different if my mom was
right.
There.
Right.
What was your high school life like?
I don't know. Equal parts like awesome and horrible.
That sounds
when
about
did
right.
You know, when did you know you were gay?
I was in denial to myself probably till I was like in my like 20, 21 to 24.
Okay.
I started like, I guess, experimenting at 21. At 24, I was like, I'm gay. And my roommate was like, I know, you sleep with men. And I'm like, no.
Here's your first sign.
I'm like, no, but I mean, like, I'm really gay. They're like, I get it. Can you like hand me the remote control? You know, like, it was like not a big deal at all by the time I finally admitted it to myself.
So wait, let's just, you know, since I don't know how liquored up you are, but.
Whatever you want to hear. I don't care.
If did
don't
you have sex with women? Did you, when you were in high school, college?
Yeah. No, college. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have sex with anyone in high school. I was like. Turned it off, man.
Yeah.
Like asexual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like not trying. I had crushes on like the girl that had the boyfriend for 10 years, you know, like that shit. Like, you know, like whoever was like impossible, you know, to
the Lindsay Lohan of your high school.
Just whoever was impossible to get to.
Right.
You know?
All right. Right.
And yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And so wait, so and then where'd you go to college? You went?
I went to college at Florida School of the Arts in Palatka, Florida.
But wait. You already knew you wanted to be an actor.
Oh, yeah. Like, since when I was little, and my grandfather had 12 brothers,
yeah.
And they all lived on the same block in Brooklyn that we lived on.
Yeah.
So when I would learn my ABCs, I would do what I affectionately call the coffee table circuit. And I would, like, anytime I learned a song or anything,
I like that.
I'd hit everybody's coffee table. I'd go from Grandmama and Grandpapa's to Uncle Mikey and Aunt Nina's to Uncle Giuseppe's to Aunt Roro's. I go all the way down the row. And, you know, neighbors, too, that, you know, because they all knew us, you know, obviously. And I would that's how I got, you know, the bug for attention, very early age. I could talk before I could walk. My mom would be like, tells me these stories where I'd be like, before I could even like move my legs, I'd pull myself up in the crib and I'd be like, get in here now. Like, I don't even know.
Time for the first show.
People thought she was a ventriloquist. This is true. She was like, she would walk me in the stroller and a lady would be like, what a cute baby. And I'd be like, you want to come up for a cup of coffee? they'd be like, did you just do that? My mom would be like, no, he just speaks. Like, I was like one of those kids, you know?
Your mom is fucking hilarious.
She is hilarious.
You got to watch the videos on YouTube. I mean,
no, she's the best.
Because I actually watched the one with you playing her first, and I thought, oh, that's really over the top and hilarious. And I was like, oh, no, she's exactly like
oh, how about this? She was on the beach in Fort Lauderdale, and she was like talking to my sister, and she's like, Diana, hand me the towel, blah, blah, blah. And some guy's like, I hate to interrupt you, but do you know what you sound like? Have you ever seen Shit Italian Mom Say? And she had to like pull out her ID and everything to prove that she was like the muse for that. Like, she got recognized just by being herself.
Oh my gosh.
Which is hilarious.
Can you tell us some shit your Italian mom says, just for people that haven't seen it? Just give us some taste.
Well, I'll tell you that.
Give us a little menagot.
My mom has her own language. Mm-hmm. Like, she has her own language. It's called mommies. Like, and I speak it fluently. Like, I, you know, like I was going to Cirque du Soleil. She's like, Danny's going to Circus Olay. It's going to be great. You should check it out. Like, and, you know, she just like, she's always like, so I'm like, mom, that's not what it is. I always have to remind her like of what it is.
Right.
I try to confuse her sometimes. She'll be like washing the dishes and I'll be like, what's your favorite Johnny Depp movie? She's like, Edward Suzanne. Why? You know,
like, great.
I'm like, mom, you heard they dropped one of those cases against Bill Cosby? Yeah. And I'm really upset with the jujitsu system. Like, I don't like, Ma, I can't eat this. It's all carbs. What are you talking about? Feel it. It's fresh. I'm like, Ma, I can't eat this. She's like, don't tell me that. When you were poor and in college, all you ate were those Asian Roman numerals.
And who didn't live on Asian Roman numerals in college?
I know.
We all did.
Staple.
Yeah, she's a hoot. She's a fun.
Wow. She really is. Like, yeah. What? Now, is your dad still with us? Or?
Yeah, he is. He's, okay. He's not with us. He's at the Tiki Bar in Deerfield Beach. You know, probably
singing,
you know,
drinking,
singing,
both
singing. Yeah.
Yes. All right.
From Sinatra.
And they're
to Buffett.
Still married, or
no?
Oh no! All
no. Right. Somewhere around 1989, picture my mom gritting her teeth and singing Tony Braxton while vacuuming, and that's where it ended. Somewhere around there.
Yes, that was. What was she singing? Which Tony Braxton?
Unbreak
song?
My heart with the vacuum, like while my dad's like trying to rehearse. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
I don't know. That didn't work out.
How long were they married?
20 years, maybe.
Wow. Yeah.
Maybe.
And your brother and sisters are like
18 years?
You know.
What's that?
I don't know. Normal, straight?
Yeah. What is normal these days?
I don't know. Who could say?
Yeah, my brother's married with a beautiful daughter, and my sister is getting married.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. But so, no, wait, was your parent or your parents always, were you, they supportive right away when you came out?
No, not really. I mean, weren't like against it. They weren't like, you know, some horror stories that I've had friends. I mean, I had a girl in my college who was a lesbian, and when she came out, her mom had a funeral for her. I mean, just crazy, batshit crazy
shit
like that.
Wow, that's a little far with the dead to me.
Florida's nuts. Jesus. When it comes to that kind of stuff. Yeah, wow. But like, nothing like that. But I did, you know, I went to gay conversion therapy.
Did you really?
I did.
Was there electroshock?
No, not electric shock, but like.
Sorry, I don't mean to do that to you again.
What if it was and they just had like a whole like PTSD moment?
Right? Like I just emailed Kurt Eichenwald something to make him trigger his epilepsy. Sorry. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
No, I just had, I'd had like ex-gay therapy is what I would call it. Yeah.
Right. And it was. How'd that go? Not so good?
Not so good, no. You know, especially when my like my counselor, I guess you would call it, when he was like, so me and my wife, and I'm like, you're married. Like, I was like,
what?
This is good. I'm like, I don't know if I'm gay, but you're gay, dude.
Well, the first two guys that founded the ex-gay movement ran off together in a gay way. In a gay way.
So yeah. Well, you know, and the CEO of Segway died by going off the cliff in a Segway.
On a Segway. Exactly.
It'll happen to you.
Exactly.
You
thank
know?
You.
If you're preaching no dick, you'll die by the dick.
Live by the dick, die by the dick.
Choke on a bag of dicks.
Just saying. Choke on a bag of dicks. Suck a whole bag of dicks before you do. Yeah. So, all right. But then they, obviously your mom's very, I love the one with you
right
and the grinder. So the grinder, I don't get it. Why do they show the dick? I don't.
No, my mom had this whole moment where she was like, Danny, I'm a gay mom. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I'm a gay mom. And I'm like, what are you trying to tell me, mom? She was like, I'm just a mom for the gays. Any gay that doesn't have a mom, I'm their mom.
Aww.
And then she goes, you have to see. She goes, if you go on Twitter, she goes, I'm different everywhere else. But if you go on Twitter, I'm Christian and I'm gay. Like, that's what I am. I'm God and gay. If you want to follow me, you're going to get some God wisdom and some gay. I was like, all right.
I love it.
She's fantastic.
She's amazing.
I mean, how, you know, no, my mom was the same way.
My mom,
93-year-old Republican Trump voting mom, but she was really, when I came out, I just was like, and then she cried too. She's like, oh, honey, like, why didn't you tell me? Like, she was very supportive. Like, she just didn't, I you know, I think that I spent so long judging my family, thinking, oh, they're Republican, they're Catholic. I spent so long being afraid they were going to judge me that I was judging them. And they all were actually great about it.
My mom got it in 1 second. I saw the second it happened. Like, she was dating a black guy who she ended up marrying.
Oh my God, that whore.
No, but
I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, but it felt like, it felt similar to the narrative of a person who's closeted.
Right.
She was afraid how my family would react. When she finally came out, like, to them, they were like, so? And they ended up getting married, and it was a beautiful, he passed away of cancer, sadly.
Aww.
But during the time when they were dating, my mom was like, how could you, like, I saw this amazing drag queen do Bette Midler live at like Fort Lauderdale at the Copa. And I was like, Ma, you have to come with me and see this. You would like die. It's amazing. And she goes, but with all those guys kissing around there, you know, how could you like be around that? Doesn't that feel like not of the Lord? You know, that's what she said. And I was like, Mom, I was like, do I have to tell you about me again? Because we had this conversation. She goes, no, I know. But it just like, and I go, Mom, would you rather me be like you and hide my lover from my family every Christmas? Or you know,
aww.
I was like, if you love me so much and you think I'm so great, if there's another person in this world that thinks I'm awesome, wouldn't you want to at least meet them and shake their hand?
Yeah.
And it was like, I saw it. It just went like, boom.
She
was
light
like,
bulb. Yeah.
And she cried and she was like, you know, I've known so many gay people. I've had gay family members, everything. And it took my son to teach me.
Aww.
And it was like a moment. It
she
was
seems
just,
fantastic.
It was a beautiful moment very long ago. And my mom since has like hosted Pride with me. We were on the Pride float in San Francisco last year. And we've, you know, it took her and my fiance who grew up Mormon and didn't have a big LGBTQ background, you know.
Yeah.
I took the both of them to their first Pride together 2 years ago in D.C. And it was outrageous. Like they were like, we were a little behind. So they hopped us on one of those golf carts and we drove straight to, they're like, we don't know where we're going. So we saw the whole play. I mean, the whole parade, like, fast forward. Like,
before like, we
were like, zoom, 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 and then they go, when we arrive at the spot, and they're like, you know, screaming from the, when we arrive at the spot, you know, if there's room for everybody, and it's we see where you're actually going, like, we'll let you off there. If not, we'll put your mom, like, at the end of the parade, and so when you go, when you pass her, you'll get off. So we got there, and it was, like, the smallest little convertible. Like, me and Joseph could hardly fit in it. So they were like, we're going to just leave your mom in this golf cart, but we have to go get the drag queens out of the refrigerator. And I'm like, what?
What?
And really, they had all these drag queens sitting in like a walk-in refrigerator because they didn't want them to melt. And they drive them over. And then they put my mom with these drag queens. And she goes, bah. I snapped a picture. Like, it was like, like, I pulled out my phone, I guess, as fast as I can. And it was like, snap. And she's like being dragged away on a drag queen mobile.
Yes.
And I was like, things will never be the same.
That's amazing.
And they weren't.
Engaged to stylist Joseph Bradley Phillips.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And you got engaged at a North Hollywood, California Starbucks.
We met there.
Which I was going to say, yes, did not sound at all romantic until I watched the goddamn video, you motherfucker.
I know.
Oh, and then I cried. Yeah. He didn't know when they put Mr. and Mr. Francesi on the cups, and then there was a goddamn ring in the cup, and fuck you, Daniel.
I went in for a Grande Americano, but I left with a Venti Puerto Rican.
Hey! He really didn't know. It was
He really had no clue. Like, as a matter of fact, on the way there, we were just talking about, you know, we were leasing a new apartment together, so we were talking about credit scores and all that, and he's like, well, it's not like we're not married. Like,
that's romantic.
And I was like, well, you're about to. Like, in about an hour, we're going to get engaged.
Wow.
He's like, it's not like I'm your fiance or anything. On the way there, I was like panicking. Wow. But it was adorable, and we had the best time.
Yeah, he cried. It was really...
And then we went straight from getting engaged to signing a new lease on an apartment and then flying to New York and going to a block party on the street I was born on in Brooklyn, where he met all my family, and then I went to meet all his people in Queens, and, you know, we just... in Manhattan, and we...
All right, listen, two questions. When's the wedding? Am I the flower girl? I know I'm new.
No,
I know you have family.
I have a niece. Get over it. Get over it.
You fuck yourself, Daniel, because I would be better than that little bitch.
Oh. No, really? You're the one that gave me champagne. If you're going to start calling my niece a bitch, we're going to have to have words.
We're going to throw down.
We're going to have words.
When's the wedding?
A couple years, because my sister got engaged first and also is getting married first. So I don't want to step on her train. Let her have her moment, you know?
I understand.
And, you know... weddings are expensive, and you know, and we have a lot of friends, and so we got to just plan. We got a lot of planning to do right now, and we have a very busy work year. He's an executive at Bloomingdale's, and I'm like, you know, doing my thing, my stand up, and all this other stuff. So we got to definitely, you know, do the work year, because right after that, first comes marriage, then comes the babies. Mm-hmm. You know,
would you end up kids?
Oh yeah, for sure, question.
Fuck yeah, man.
We already have names. I'm gonna name the Marvel franchise and book deal, because that's what's gonna cost a fourth of them in this friggin' town.
Okay, I loved your, because I love that you finally found love, because I loved your Sam Smith, Please Go Home music video parody, where you wake up with a guy.
It's the best.
Right? Okay. It's called Please Go Home. And also, I love that the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir helped you in this.
Isn't that amazing?
You wake up, find yourself in bed with a strange man after a meaningless one-night stand.
Yeah, the guy who's in the video with me, he wrote and directed the whole thing. He just plugged me in, like, so I have to give him credit, but... it was so much fun. He's a great guy, and he's really funny. He's got other great parodies. You should check him out. Like, he's great.
You're a good singer. Like, please go home.
Yeah.
Won't you?
Sam Smith loved it. He loved it. We became friends out of that. He loved it. He thought that was great. And I mean, that's all you could ask for, right?
I love that he keeps trying to take selfies in bed, and then you're just like, you need a mint. And please go home.
So relatable.
Exactly right. Oh, listen, Plastic. I don't know what you're talking about. So how long have you been engaged?
Since July.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, very, very exciting. Mm. Wait, and you have a thing coming up, RuPaul's Drag Con?
I'm appearing there, yeah. I have many comedy shows before that. If you follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at What's Up Danny, you'll see it all.
All right.
And then tonight, I have one in Santa Clarita at the Main.
Oh.
I'm headlining a show there called Comedy Mashup.
What? Right. So what do you talk about in your stand-up? Like, you were
my
saying
mother.
That,
you've heard mother. Most of my jokes. No. I talk about my mom. I talk about what it's like, you know, being gay engaged, you know, and like...
Yeah.
All that other kind of stuff. It's a lot of family stuff. I'm not, I mean, I, you know, I say like fuck twice. That's about it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Wow. I'm not at very, least you said it once on the happy hour, because we encourage a lot of drinking.
I know,
swearing.
You're saying a lot
and
of
you've
them.
You've been a little fucking like, you know, I'm just saying, a little dearth of.
Well, you know what it is?
I don't
anymore, but for the past 3 years, I've been working for Disney. So I've been like dialing back.
I work for Disney.
Yeah, I've been dialing back the Fs, you know?
Yeah.
But now I'm a free man, so fuck
it. Oh, yeah, I've been fired by Disney twice, so now fuck them. Fuck you, you fucking mouse fucking mucking motherfucking Disney fuckers. Yeah. What? Right, Venera? You know what I'm talking about. Fuck you and your fucking family friendly bullshit, you fuckheads. Okay, that's just me. That's not you. That's not on you.
No, Daniel. It's not.
Okay.
I actually love Disney so much. They're so kind and they really are great.
They gave me a late night TV show. They regretted it, but they still did. God bless you, Disney. God bless you, you mouse fuckers. So this is so happy that you're... what's your relationship with your dad like now?
Yeah, we're chill. We're pretty cool. I mean, he really came around, especially in the past couple of years. I mean, there's been a lot of change in the world, you know, and I think a lot of acceptance. And I think, you know, the Obama administration helped with a lot of that. A lot of the laws that were passed.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the things that happened started to make it be cool. Being gay is cool now.
Yeah, but isn't this some fucking goddamn bullshit, Daniel, the Donald Trump era? Do you have the same kind of, like, PTSD I do? Every time my phone, I'm like, oh, what the fuck did he do now? Jesus Christ.
There's some craziness going on in this world for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, but all I think we can do is just combat it. Keep going.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, I feel like the resistance is working, right? I mean,
if we're going to get real, I feel like sometimes the resistance, I'm like, I can't believe the way our side is, how you would say it. I don't know exactly how we align. But like, I just think that the opposing opinion side is acting like really crazy and childish. I don't want to make that be the example that we give young people on how to handle losing or how to handle
things
that we don't
like. But aren't
they
bullies? I mean, they're just fucking bullies, man.
Yeah, you say
that,
but every comedian I know is bullying the shit out of Trump. Not that I care about it. It's funny and whatever. I'm just saying, like, really, it's getting to the point where, like, we're bullies too now. So now we are a country of bullies that are bullying each other. And I really think it's not about peace now.
He started it.
Yeah.
Am I being immature? He started it, Vanessa.
I just think that, you know, I see a lot of energy in these protests and things like that. And I'm lobbying for things that I want to Congress in Washington, you know?
Right.
And so I would like to see other people doing more of that and less of, like, the complaining and the everything else. By the way, comedy's never been better. Like, I mean, people are so funny.
Yeah.
The people on Twitter that are making fun of the administration are hilarious. Like, the SNL is the best ratings ever.
Best ratings ever.
Yeah, like, a lot of that's wonderful. So that's not what I'm talking about.
I'm making a living in my fucking basement, Daniel. I got you here, didn't I? Didn't I, Mean Girls?
It was the champagne, really.
All right. I don't care. I don't care.
I heard there would be champagne.
I don't care, you man whore. Daniel, you are a fucking delight, sir. And I honor you as a fellow warrior in the resistance and gay rights. And you're just an amazing actor and comedian. And goddamn, fuck you for making me cry twice today. Fuck you.
I don't know what to say to that.
We love you and we love what you do.
I mean that in a nice way. We love you, Danny. All right. Go follow him. How do we follow you on Twitter?
What's up, Danny? Everywhere. Snapchat, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter. Do it. What's up, Danny?
What the fuck, man? Happy fucking happy hour. Thank you, Daniel.
You happy fucking happy hour to you, bitches.
Yes.